Let's go!
This is Dubas's team.
Holy mackerel! They're going to the playoffs!
I hate these playoff pods. They suck.
We're back to the playoffs, all right. You guys remember back this to the feeling? Playoffs.
It's too familiar, isn't it? Like, it's just every year. It's the same thing. And for some reason, we convince ourselves that it'll be different, and it's not. It never is. It's not. Listening to that last pod, we were so excited. Our hopes are even higher than before. All the stupid analysts were saying the Leafs are going to win in 5 or 6 games, and we're like, this is great.
Well, happiness. Hold on. We still can, Tim. We just can't win in 4 anymore.
I don't think I'll last that long.
I mean, I was a victim of optimism as well. I spent all day, you know, we were talking all day, scheming, getting ready for Boston, and just completely assuming the Leafs would win this game. And even though we all last pod talked about, you know, like our different scenarios of how many games are the Leafs going to do it, blah, blah, blah. Like legitimately just, I did never, ever thought the Leafs were going to lose game one, and especially in the fashion that they did.
Yeah. I mean, like I don't think we were necessarily expecting this to be a walk in the park, but I don't think any of us were expecting the Leafs to get blown out to this magnitude. Like 7-3 is a statement game as you're going to get. That's just mop the floor with us.
That's Wes McCauley making a statement, maybe, but...
Oh, Tim's jumping right to it.
Well, that's a part of goodness. The game. I guess...
It's been a little bit of time. I've cooled off a little bit, but anyways. We should, like, go through, like, there were some takeaways from this game that we should talk about. Ryan, I remember when we were chatting after the game, you said the turning point was Michael Bunting. For any of those that... weren't able to watch the game or, like, you know, suffer from blackouts of memories. I understand. But Michael Bunting, halfway through the game, takes interference penalty. He bumps into a Tampa Bay player shoulder to head. And the Tampa guy walks off the ice with an apparent concussion, at least until, you know, the suspension dealing can be handed down. Anyways, what were your guys' thoughts both on the hit as well as the 5-minute major penalty that was called?
Well, I think that we should have saw it coming, to be honest. We see it every year. There's like Kadri gets suspended again, Muzzin gets injured, Tavares gets injured, Clifford gets suspended. There's always something that happens in these playoff series that we just can never have it all. All these other teams get to go through it, and they just get to have this fun little playoff series, and both teams win and both teams lose, and then something happens at the end and the team wins. With us, there's always some sort of controversy or something that happens, and this is it this year. Michael Bunting, we saw it for the last probably 30 games of the season. It started to get away from him. He clearly lost the respect of the refs. He couldn't get away with anything anymore. He forgot how to walk the line. Carelessly hits, I think it was Chernak, hits Chernak up high with his shoulder. It wasn't a rocking hit. It's not like he clubbed him in the head with his elbow or something, but it's a headshot. He fully deserved the 5-minute major. He fully deserves the suspension he's probably going to get. We don't know at this moment of recording. I think he'll get suspended a game. And yeah, I do think that we were still in it at that point. We made a bit of a push to make it 3-2. Tampa just made it 4-2. It's still within a couple goals. We have the firepower to make that up. And Bunting just carelessly threw away the game. And I think that it's not all his fault that we lost, but I absolutely think that's the turning point, and it's a dirty hit by him.
What do you think, Steven? I know you're always seemed a little more generous on whether a hit is clean or dirty, but what are your thoughts on the Bunting hit?
I mean, it was a penalty, and especially in a game like that where the refs were calling it tight. I mean, you didn't always know what they were going to call, but I would say
that's one word for it.
What's that, Tim?
That's one word calling it. I've never seen a cross check with one hand on the stick.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I'm saying. A lot of the calls tonight were light, right? And so, like, just like Rye said, right? Like, it was a hit to the head. Was it a you know, crushing hit to the head. I don't know about that. It was a bump. I mean, it's the NHL. He left his feet and he hit the guy in the head. Did I think Chernak was going to fall like that? I mean, I haven't watched this replay a handful of times. I wouldn't put it past anybody in that series to be diving a little bit. And then it's unfortunate the way he fell, his head snapped back and looks like it could be a concussion situation. But I was disappointed in Michael Bunting for just like making that call, right? Like deciding that's what I'm going to do here in a game where like we were halfway into the game at that point. And you should know that like nobody's getting, you know, off. Nobody in the Leafs is doing that and getting off clean. And especially not you, Michael Bunting. How many times did I say it before the series, right? That like so many things are working in the favor of the Leafs, but we got to play better than the refs reffed. And tonight, is that even possible to play better than the refs did here? I was watching the US broadcast and immediately after the second period, they're saying it's the worst officiated period they've seen. I mean,
it was brutal. Like, so Leafs, I don't think we've mentioned it. Horrible first period. Leafs did not show up at all for the playoffs. Rightfully deserved to be down 2-0, if not 3-0.
It was 3-0 at the end of the first.
What?
It was 3-0 at the end of the first.
I know, and they deserved it.
Well, part of that was, you know, two of Tampa's power plays in the game were in the first period. Don't forget about that.
Anyways, then the second period, the Leafs like turn it around. Keith slapped some sense into them, said, guys, the game started 20 minutes ago. And the Leafs start going on this run, make it 3-2. And then they get called the weakest of weak penalties. Like, maybe not quite as weak as the Wes McCauley stealing our game-tying goal in Game 7 last year from us. But, like, ridiculous. Tampa gets the power play, scores, make it 4-2. Totally changed the momentum of the game. I was not pleased.
Even the calls in favor of the Leafs, right? The two Leaf, or well, I guess it ended up being like four
totally
power plays, but the two Leaf power plays that they scored on early were light calls as well. It was just like, I guess a silver lining for games down in the future is like, if at least it's called somewhat consistently based on this like style that did tonight. But
it's
we'll
not going to be consistent. The refs are just making stuff up. They say like, oh, this team had a big hit and the Tampa Bay bench is crying. I better call a penalty over here. Oh, Michael Bunting's on the ice. He probably did something. Let's call him for diving.
I disagree with you guys on this idea that it'll be suspended. I mean,
he's 100% going to be suspended because Matt Dumba was not suspended. The league has to save face. He's going to get the Dumba suspension and his own suspension. My prediction is two games.
I guess worse than his. I don't know. They're both just like, both of them feel like it's because the guy got hurt is why they.
Well, that's definitely part of it. Like, the ref calls a 2-minute interference penalty. Then he sees Chernak is struggling to get up. So the refs go huddle. And then they're like, no, 5-minute major. Right. I get it. I agree. It should be a 5-minute major, but it's annoying that the reasoning for this is, the player fell awkwardly and hit his head or whatever. Therefore, it's going to be a worse penalty. It doesn't matter what the hit was. It's silly. I do think you got suspended. Two games seems excessive. I think it'll be one.
It's always excessive.
I don't think it really matters. What my takeaway from the to spin a little bit of a positive spin on it. Is I actually think our power play looked pretty good on those opportunities that we did get. Like Ryan O'Reilly, especially that line of O'Reilly, Tavares, and Nylander, they looked hot this game. They were really cooking and getting stuff going more than any other line for us, I think, throughout the game. The third period was a little wonky. The game's lost at that point. So really, it's just the first two. They were the only line that I thought was cooking out there.
Well, I wouldn't say in the first period, though. I
thought of the four lines, they were still our best in that first period. They
really?
Were the only line that wasn't just melting.
I felt like I saw Austin Matthews in that first period, you know, driving some play, and I didn't even see John Tavares. And I was wondering if after that first period, if we were going to, that was going to be the end of the Ryan O'Reilly, John Tavares line, if they were going to break it up. But
the reason why you didn't see them that often is because they didn't have enough playing time because boneheaded Sheldon Keefe had the fourth line out there for half the game. It was ridiculous. Every time we need a momentum shift, he puts David Kampf, Sam Lafferty, and Zach Aston-Reese on the ice. Like, I was not pleased.
Well, we should talk about that because it was evident right at the beginning of the game that you could tell Sheldon Keefe was aggressively targeting his line matching that he wanted, to the point where, like, you know, it's kind of a laughing thing. In the first minute of the game, there were four line changes because the coaches were just playing 3D chess with each other. But it burned us when Tampa decided to put out their fourth line. And at this point, Matthews and Marner had seen like 8 seconds of ice time in the first period at this point. And Sheldon Keefe decides, okay, it's more important that I get my matchups and I put out my fourth line against their fourth line because that's what Sheldon Keefe wanted. And we saw it in the first minute of the game. The game's barely started. Zach Austin-Reese with the most leafy of leaf giveaways in a playoff game. Absolutely brutal. Goes right back. For some reason, the loser Corey Perry, who could barely be an NHL player at this point of his career, we can't handle him. He dominated us this game, and he got the score sheet early in this fourth line goal from Tampa. That's just a brutal way to start. It's just so predictable.
And then, like, we're down by a goal or two, like, the game's in reach, he puts them out again. Yeah. Like, looking at the ice time allocation by the end of the game, like, I get the game is lost, so some of these are skewed, but it's just absolutely unforgivable what he's doing here. You have a top-end loaded lineup. You have some of the best stars in the game, and you're paying them 12 minutes in so you can play David Kampf and Sam Lafferty 10 minutes a game? Like, come on. You have these stars. Play them to get goals. Coach. Yeah,
it's what the teams... The forward group's built around right now, right? We were talking about, like, this decision saying we're going to go with two first lines and then these two other lines to play half as much as those top two lines, if that, right? And those guys got to win. And, I mean, like, there was parts of this game where Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Kyle Yarncrook were cooking. They were cooking. And Ryan O'Reilly, John Tavares, cooking. Willie, cooking. And so... just, you know, even though, like, you could chalk up a lot of tonight's loss to reffing and stuff like that, some of the decisions by Sheldon Keefe were rough. Do you guys want to discuss the
penalty kill?
No, I was going to say the non-goal call.
I forgot about that.
Leafs are on the penalty kill for the 5-minute major to Michael Bunting, which may or may not result in the suspension. We'll see. And the Lightning, I can't even remember who was it, Perry? Somebody, again.
Of course it was Perry.
Whacks a puck past in just a dirty, greasy play right in front of the net past Samsonov's pad. It's sitting there on the red line, and it's called a goal on the ice. And I don't know what cameras you guys were getting up in the north. That was not a goal.
I have no idea. I have no idea. We've seen these... did it cross the goal line calls? You know, they happen all the time throughout the regular season. And if you don't explicitly see a line of white ice in between the puck and the goal line, it's never called a goal. Never, ever, ever. They always say if we can't prove that it's a goal, it's not a goal. No, I'm looking at this thing. It's sitting on the red line. Like, I have no idea why that was called a goal.
The opposite. They say, what did the ref call on the ice? And they have to try and prove it wrong. So in this case, Wes McCauley made the wrong call on the ice. And the NHL said, well, we can't prove it's not wrong.
I think
it could. I don't know.
I was looking at it, and it just did not look like it crossed the line.
Not even close.
But then they challenge it for goaltender interference. It's like, Samsonov is against the post. How does the puck get in there if Corey Perry does not push Samsonov's thing and, like, pad in the thing? I don't know.
But I still
our penalty kill is horrendous, though.
I still felt like it was the wrong call by Sheldon Keefe to even challenge it. Even though, like, we all agree that he had a basis and it really shouldn't have even counted as a goal in the first place. You just, like, have to know because they took that extra, whatever it was, 3 or 4 minutes to look at it before they made the call that it's a goal. So then you go, like, they're clearly lost. You're on a penalty kill anyway for the next 3 minutes, regardless of what happens here. And now you're down the goal, and then you lose the challenge, which they did. So now you're down 5-3. Of course,
I think Sheldon Keefe was looking at it that if this is a good goal and it's now 5-2 and they're still on the penalty kill for the next 22 minutes, the game is lost anyway. So you might as well challenge. That's where I think he was coming from.
But the Leafs scored more goals after that. Like the game would have looked a little better. And you're right.
If he didn't think that there was a chance that they were going to overturn the call, he wouldn't have challenged, of course. So he definitely thought he was onto something there, but he's probably a little more risk heavy knowing the state of the game and what this goal meant.
He decided to roll the dice on what goaltender interference is. No one knows.
It felt like an emotional decision by like a guy who maybe needs to put his emotions towards Wes McCauley aside. Because it felt like are you serious, Wes? I'm like, no, we're not going back to hockey. I'm challenging this. Like,
well,
I hate you.
Putting the refs aside, like the Tampa Bay Lightning got 8 power plays. Yes, that is largely due to the poor officiating by Wes McCauley and friends. All the same, the Leafs were brutally horrible on all 8 of those penalty kills. Probably the worst penalty killing I've seen in a long time from this Leafs.
Just what's so utterly embarrassing
about that
killing.
Is that we iced our defensive team. We chose to not put guys like Liljegren and Gustavsson and Matthew Nyes in the lineup because we wanted to go with guys who we could trust out there defensively. And we let in 7 goals, 4 of them on the power play. Like, I don't know what the fix is there. If anything, the fix was, okay, let's take out Liljegren and put Shen in the game. Like, that would be a fix. We just had Shen in the game. Shoot, we already had Justin Hall in the game. Darn it, we still had Kerfoot and Achari. Like, all of our best penalty killers were in this game. What do we do?
And they just put it forth an embarrassing effort. Like, watching them run around on the penalty kill, I couldn't even understand how they get to be that lost. One thing we haven't talked about this whole game, Ilya Samsonov was not Ilya Samsonov tonight. He looked like Michael Hutchinson. Had a couple good saves.
He did.
But he was not good. He was not good.
The 5 holes rough, the glove, the you know, one over his glove, that's rough.
Yes, all 5 holes were rough.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, for some of those, like the penalty kill in front of him looked rough. Was he? I haven't heard Sheldon Keefe post game. I mean, we're recording this like just after. Was he pulled because the game was lost, or was he pulled because
it's a bit of both, right? Like you pull him because you're not going to win the game. So why bother letting him continue to let goals pass and crush his confidence when you know you're going to be relying on him? But also, he sucked for 2 periods, so he's out of there and Joseph Woll's in. And Joseph Woll was fine when he was in there. He let in the 1 breakaway goal. He made 1 unbelievable save.
He did.
Like, the game's kind of, like, you don't take anything away from that 3rd period. It was all kind of mishmash anyway.
That's kind of where I was at. I just was checking with you guys.
But it's, like, what's frustrating. It's funny that I never really thought about this whole Samsonov's record previous this in the playoffs was 1 win and 6 losses. That never really came up with me too much because I'm thinking that was old Samsonov when he was bad in Washington. And this year we've seen a different Samsonov. He's been fantastic and extremely consistent all season. And not only that, extremely consistent at home all season. Like, his record on home ice is probably tops of the NHL this year, other than maybe Boston. I bet you can't find 1 game he let in more than 4 goals all season at home. And he'd let in 6 this game. Like, what is that? Like, is it just this guy can't come up for the big moments in the playoffs? Because he's now 1-7. Like, 1-7 is not nothing. And we don't have Murray. He's still injured. I assume Joseph Woll isn't going to come in game 2. But if Samsonov sucks in game 2, he might come in for game 3.
Yeah, I do think that we see Samsonov next game. Like, I think this game was so bad from the Leafs on every level. The Leafs were so embarrassing bad. I'm not even fully blaming the refs. That's how bad the Leafs were. But I think this whole game, you have to forget that it happened. There was no redeeming qualities out of this game, except for maybe the power play for about the 3 minutes of happiness we had this game. So I think you just totally forget that it happened and just move on to game 2 and, you know, try and play a playoff game.
I mean, I would
maybe
say
write an apology to the fans.
Although I just said that you can't take anything away from that goofy 3rd period, there was that goal that Marner and Matthews and Yarncrook was able to set up in the third period, and Yarncrook scored it off a nice little off the rush chance, which I think was the only off the rush chance the Leafs took all game. They would love the dump and chase this game. I'm not sure what that was about. But with Bunting being out, assuming Lee suspended, unless if you're optimistic like Steven, which I have no idea how you still have a shred of optimism in your mind there, Steven.
This is George Parros you're talking about.
It looks to me like it's going to be Matthews, Marner, Yarncrook. And if Yarncrook continues, like, he put up a 20-goal season, that's a career year for him. He looked really good with Matthews and Marner towards the end of the season. It was a discussion that we were having of should it be Bunting or Yarncrook up there on the top line. Maybe even if Bunting isn't suspended, it should be Yarncrook up there.
I guess maybe I don't know about the highlight because we didn't actually see it happen. Victor Hedman, one of the core pieces of the Tampa Bay Lightning, left halfway through the game with an injury, did not return. This is a Victor Hedman that basically has played the past two, like, he's played through basically on one leg. It takes a lot to take him out of the game. So definitely concerning from the Tampa standpoint. I don't know if maybe if Hedman ends up missing some time, the Leafs' odds of winning the series actually goes up.
Yeah, because we did really well without Hedman in the lineup tonight, didn't we, Tim?
Oh yeah, real good. The game was already lost by the time he left. They probably said, "Oh, go take a break, start the car."
But back to the Yarncrook thing, though, I thought the same thing. Even before that suspension, because, like, the game in that first period when it was tight and, like, Matthews and Marner, I feel like we're getting a little bit locked up. Bunting had a couple of chances and just, like, sent that puck wide 3 or 4 feet and, like, didn't look great offensively even when he was in the game. And I was just thinking, like, Cali Yarncrook, even though I've beefed with him for a handful of the season, he's had some finish. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, we'll have to see on the suspension thing. I only say that I don't know that it's going to be a suspension. Like, he already missed half of this game anyway.
Spin the wheel.
You are right, though. It is the Leafs. There's still nothing more ridiculous. I think about it all the time, how Kadri was suspended for the rest of a series. I've never even heard of that before. So I guess it's
the Kadri rule.
That is the
weirdest thing I've ever heard. Let's just walk down this hypothetical and say Michael Bunting is suspended for one game, right? That's the happy middle between Steven zero and Tim's two, and it's exactly what I think will happen, so it's what's gonna happen. Michael Bunting is suspended for one game, game two in Toronto. You are Sheldon Keefe. Do you go 11-7? Do you put Matthew Nyes in the lineup? What is your plan here?
I put Matthew Nyes in the lineup. I mean, does 11-7 solve the horrendous penalty kill? I don't know if it does. If like you said, if we had Liljegren or, but neither of those guys kill penalties, so I don't know what the issue is there. But yeah, I think Matthew Nyes gets in the lineup. I'm not sure if Keefe also, like, moves Ryan O'Reilly down to the third line to play him with Matthew Nyes, or whether Nyes just plays with Achari. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you see a pair of O'Reilly and Nyes, or do we just see O'Reilly staying up on the second line and maybe the third line doesn't get as many minutes? But
I would want to give one more game to the two top lines idea before I'd consider moving Ryan O'Reilly down. Like, even though Matthew Nyes is a good player, I just don't know that, like, maximizing him is which he's probably maximized more by playing with Ryan O'Reilly, right? Like, I don't know that maximizing him is as important as maximizing what the second line can be. We saw how magic that idea was for a handful of the season this year. So, like, yeah, that's where I'm at. I just think let's one more game, you know, Cali Yarncrook on the top line, second line as it was, and then Nyes on the third line with Achari and Kerfoot?
Yeah, it was Kerfoot.
I can't even remember.
That line does seem like a bit of a spare parts line, but yeah, at least, like, keeps the fourth line together of Kamp, Lafferty, and Zach Aston-Reese, which, I mean, it's an average fourth line. We're looking at it and say it's probably the best they've had in years, but, like, there's a reason you have good players, and when you want to change momentum, it does not mean playing that fourth line 10 plus minutes a night.
Well, it's here's the thing, though. We were coming into the series thinking that we had the advantage in depth. Like, we were looking at our
not on the fourth line, though.
Yes, absolutely on the fourth line. We look at Tampa's old man fourth line. They're like our fourth line of the last 2 years. Absolutely on the fourth line, we were saying we had the advantage in depth. It just didn't come through tonight.
Well, Tim, this Tampa fourth line is just, like, bizarre. Like, they just play better in the playoffs. We don't watch every game of the season, but Belmar got that first goal of the game. He had 4 goals the whole season. And he scored
and
one
they even
tonight.
Said coming into this, like, Corey Perry hadn't scored in 10 straight games. And then this game, oh, he has a goal, 2 assists, and 8 shots on goal. It's like, what the heck? Like, it's just they pull something out of the bottle, and we can't seem to do that. Mm. I seem to agree with you guys. I think that we will see Matthew Nyes come in. I don't think they'll be going 11-7. But to me, that's wildly concerning. Like, I still can't get over that giveaway of Zach Aston-Reese a minute into this game. And guess what? We are trailing the entirety of the next 59 minutes of the game. We just never got back into it. And now you're putting in another rookie. We've seen him make a mistake in that Florida game. We have 3-game sample size of the NHL. It's just like, you saw it again.
Keep saying,
it happens to us every year in the playoffs. We make like 3 mistakes and all of them end up in the back of our net. And the other team makes these mistakes and we just like shoot it into the corner and that's it. We just can't capitalize, and the other teams are kings at it. Like, Tampa's the ultimate king at it. So putting a guy like Nyes in, that makes me nervous, but I don't know. We do have to also remember that last year we won 5-0 in game 1, and Tampa came back and beat us in game 2, and they ended up winning the series. And they mentioned on the broadcast that it doesn't mean anything. Like you said, Tim, you just gotta put it behind you, put it in the trash bin, and move on. And there's still 6 games left to play, or fewer, for us to turn this thing around.
I want a written apology from all those Maple Leafs that put out that performance tonight.
Yeah.
It's not good. Took 10 years off my life watching that thing.
This one? I mean, was this worse? Is this the worst Leafs loss? I don't know. Not worse than Boston game 1 of 2018. Not worse, but bad.
I mean, it's not more emotionally worse, but like from a performance standpoint, it might be one of the worst. Like, this was a pretty bad game.
I, for one, am pretty sick bad. Of the Leafs facing Corey Perry in the first round of the playoffs. Oh,
I'm so sick of that guy.
3 years in a row.
All right, we play again on Thursday. What are you guys looking for? Let's end on a high note here. What's going to help us win that game? Tell me why we're going to win that game.
Usually they don't have the same referee do 2 games in a row.
Fast feet early in the game. I'm not as concerned as you guys yet about the penalty kill, because I just felt like they were frazzled, and I'm hoping we don't take as many penalties against. But it's fast feet early in the game and getting into it, and let's get the right lines out there. Auston Matthews still looked good. Ryan O'Reilly still looked good. And let's not make stupid penalties. Sorry, my lights are auto turning off. It's getting dark. It's getting late. What do you guys
I'll
got?
I'll say I think that we're going to win game 2 because of Ilya Samsonov. I think he's been Mr. Consistent all season long, because when he has a bad game, the next game he's great. And I don't think he's just going to put up another stinker next game. Maybe this is just the hopefulness of me coming through, because I am incredibly nervous that he will put up a stinker next game. But if history this season has taught me one thing, it's that Samsonov's the real deal, and he's not going to let another 7 past him next game. So I'll put my faith in that man.
I suppose the series isn't over yet, right?
No.
There's still hope. For all the reasons that we said that, like, we predicted the Leafs would win the series, they could still pull it off. Like, our best players can keep up with their best players. Our depth. I mean, their fourth line might outclass our fourth line when it comes to offense, but overall, like, we still have the better players. So if they can, you know, wake up the penalty kill coach and, you know, play hockey 60 minutes, it's doable. I mean, we also all predicted that, like, Leafs would lose 1, if not 2, if not 3 games in this series. So we all expected this loss. It's just so painful to see, like, these guys that you have such high expectations for just mail it in.
Hey, hey, we're ending on a high note. None of that. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, and Yarncrook, they're going to dominate next game. You watch. We're going to win.
They better.
Good.
We're wrapping up.
All right.
We're wrapping up.
We'll see you Thursday.
Listen, I got thrown up on in the second period, and it was still far from the worst thing that happened to me. We can only go up from here, boys.
All right. You're in it here.
I changed my shirt. It was my Nylander jersey. And then he scored.
Good night.
Good night.